Hallelujah. Thank you so much for joining me this beautiful Sunday night. If you've been outside here in Pennsylvania, the weather is just beautiful. Just a nice cool breeze, sunny. Couldn't ask for anything better. But tonight we're going to talk about a different Jesus. What is a different Jesus? It's any Jesus outside of what the Bible teaches or apart from what the Bible teaches. So there are many different Jesuses that are being preached out there. There's many different false doctrines that are being preached and taught out there in different churches, in different sects, in different cults. So with many different views and perspectives regarding Jesus' identity and mission, we live in an age where false doctrine has run rampant and where far too many are preaching a different Jesus. So to name a few of these groups, there are Jehovah Witnesses who believe that Jesus is Michael the Archangel. If you didn't realize that, you should realize that, and you should teach those who are maybe in your family or friends that you know that are following their doctrine, let them know. Because right away, in the beginning, Jehovah Witnesses do not tell you they don't believe in the same Jesus that's in the Bible. They have their own version of the Bible where they change many different things. Just so you know that, I want you to be aware. There are also Mormons who believe Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are separate beings, that they are three separate gods, not God in three persons, as we believe as Trinitarians, as Christians. And if you're not a Trinitarian, then I can't say that you are actually a Christian. They also deny the deity of Christ. So these two groups also deny that Jesus is God. They believe that he's possibly a special man or a special angel, but they don't believe that he is God. Then there's the New Age movement, who believe in a Christ consciousness, but not necessarily in Christ, the Christ of the Bible. They believe you can transcend to a higher state of spiritual enlightenment or a higher consciousness, okay, often associated with Jesus, but not exclusively limited to him or his teaching. So Paul warned about those who preach a different Jesus in 2 Corinthians 11:2-4. Let's read those verses together. Now turn with me to 2 Corinthians 11:2-4. It says, "For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." So Paul begins here, though, writing about his intentions toward the church. He sought to present them as undefiled and uncorrupted, a chaste virgin, as a bride prepared for the bridegroom, and because of his love for them, he warns them about those who preach another Jesus. Amen. If you love someone, you warn them. That's why I warn people that are going down a different road. They're trying to get to God through a different doorway, through a different avenue. Jesus said, "I am the door." He said he is the gate to the sheepfold. Amen. He's the door to heaven. He's the only way to God. He's the only way to the Father. And those who preach another gospel are going to lead you astray. Paul expresses a sincere concern for the believers in Corinth. He reminds them that the enemy subtly deceives and that his aim is to corrupt them, that they abandon the simplicity in Christ. So the enemy, yes, the enemy wants to corrupt. He wants to defile your faith. He wants to get you off the beaten path, to get you, even if you can believe 1% falsehood and 99% truth, you're no longer believing the full truth of the gospel. So the simplicity of the gospel is that Jesus, the Son of God, was manifest in human flesh, died on the cross to redeem mankind, was raised from the dead on the third day, and has ascended to sit at the right hand of the Father as Lord over all. Hallelujah. He is Lord over all. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the living Word. He is all of that, and he is so much more. So he is God. He's God manifest in human flesh. He came to lay down his life to reconcile us to the Father, to God himself. So he is God because he is of the same nature and essence as the Father, according to John 10:30. And turn there. I'm not going to read that right now, but turn there and look at the Greek. Look at the original language and find out what that word means. When it says, "I and the Father are one," it doesn't just mean one in purpose. It means one in essence and in nature. Yet so many people add or take away from the foundational truths found in God's Word. We need to stick to sound doctrine. If Satan can deceive just one person and convince them to believe in another Jesus, he will many times give them a voice to then go and deceive others. And that's what has happened with many of these cults, the Jehovah Witnesses and the Mormons and so on. There's so many, you know, and some of them are not as well known as those. So that's why I bring those up. But if they can get that person who's going to lead the masses astray, if the enemy can get them to walk away from sound doctrine, to not hear sound doctrine, then he can go ahead and manipulate that person into deceiving mass amounts of people. So he did just that with the founder of Islam, Muhammad. If you know the story of Muhammad's encounter with a supposed angel, this being claimed to be the angel Gabriel, this angel tormented Muhammad and commanded him to read. Except Muhammad was illiterate, and a lot of people don't realize that. They don't know that. The angel went on tormenting him. And every time an angel appears in the Bible, in the actual Bible, not the Quran, that angel always tells the person not to fear, not to be afraid. And then they will go on delivering their message God had given them to deliver. But here we find an angel that's tormenting this man, claiming to be the angel Gabriel, a servant of the Lord. The message this angel gave Muhammad contains some similarities to the true gospel, but with the similarities, many falsehoods. The greatest of those falsehoods being that God had no son, and that Jesus was no more than a righteous prophet. This fallen angel who called himself Gabriel was probably Satan himself. Considering how influential Islam has become in our world, I don't believe Satan would have missed the opportunity to plant as many seeds of deception in the mind and heart of the man who would convince the masses that Jesus was just a prophet. And he would convince them to place their faith in this false gospel. So regardless of what people may tell you, Muslim and non-Muslim, their God is not our God. Their God is not Yahweh. But I've said all this to emphasize the fact that we should simply believe the words of Jesus. I'm telling you, when I'm walking in the Spirit the most and to the fullest, I find that I'm simply believing the words of Jesus. I'm simply believing the words of the Bible while moving in radical faith and love. So that's what I would challenge you to do. Walk in radical faith and love while simply believing the words of the Bible, simply believing the words of Jesus, and you're going to find yourself in the Spirit. You're going to find yourself in the will of God. You're going to find yourself in the purposes of God. So a person opens themselves up to deception by rejecting the truth. And I'm really going to hone in on this. I'm really going to go into this in just a moment as I get into the scripture. When you reject the glorious gospel of salvation, a spirit of delusion has the ability to then influence your perspective. And I want you to understand that there's been different moments of my life where I did question God, where I did question the gospel, where I did question what God had already spoken to me. And then delusion came in, confusion came in. And that gives the enemy a doorway, an opportunity to get in and to twist your mind even more. And to send you off the course, off the path. So 2 Thessalonians verses 9 and 10. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So verse 9 speaks of how the Antichrist will deceive many through false signs and wonders. He'll use the power he's been given to convince unbelievers that he's the one they should follow. And verse 10 clearly reveals that those who perish, who will perish, are those who've refused the love of the truth that could have saved them. When you continue in sin and reject the truth of the gospel, you leave the door wide open to demonic forces, wide open to the enemy, who wants nothing more than to rob, kill, and destroy in your life. That's what the enemy does. That's his nature. God's nature is to save, to redeem, to restore, but the enemy's nature is to rob, kill, and destroy. Don't you forget that. Now, please turn with me to Galatians 1:8, and it says this, but even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach another gospel to you, then what was preached to you, let him be accursed. So any gospel that's different from the original gospel that Paul the Apostle, that the apostles preached, even an angel, a supposed angel of light, or anyone comes and preaches another gospel, let them be accursed. That means a curse will remain on them. Because they are deceiving. They are practicing deception. They are leading you astray. The fact that Paul had written these words to the Galatians gives us an idea of how intense the spiritual warfare he was facing must have been. So you may have never thought about it that way, but by this point, Paul had encountered so-called messengers of light in his own journeys, and he knew how cunning Satan could be. And I'm sure that's why he put this in the text. That's why he wrote this down. He knew that it wouldn't be beyond Satan's realm of influence to have Satan's servants, appear as God's servants, or to have one of his fallen angels appear as an angel sent by God. So Paul was clearly stating that regardless of who preaches another Jesus, they were to be considered workers of Satan, proclaiming a distortion of the truth. Those who pervert and corrupt the message of the gospel don't operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. They operate in an Antichrist spirit, and the Antichrist spirit will gain traction and power as the Antichrist actually comes into power and is given authority. But until then, we are to rebuke the Antichrist spirit if we sense it in the atmosphere. We're to push back darkness. Hallelujah. We're to push back darkness with the authority that Jesus has given us over all powers and authorities of the enemy. So an Antichrist spirit can manifest itself through various deceptions, but the telltale sign of an Antichrist spirit is it denies the deity of either Father, Son, or Holy Ghost. And I want you to understand that. Now I want to briefly touch on another topic, which is the demonstration of power. So 1 Thessalonians 1:5 says this, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake." So this has to do with the example that they set while they were among the Thessalonians. So when the Spirit of the living God bears witness of the gospel that's being preached, you know that God himself supports that person. When someone comes to preach in your church, when someone is sharing the message of the gospel, wherever they are, in the streets, in a coffee shop, whatever, the Holy Spirit then comes and bears witness with your spirit that this is the truth. That's why you accept this person. That's why you know, that's how you can know that God is supporting this person, because the Holy Spirit comes to empower and support those who are his servants. So as we all know, there are plenty of preachers out there. Many of them speak eloquently and dissect scripture with precision and accuracy. They preach and teach and hold seminars, but how many of them see the demonstration of God's power? That's the question I want to ask. How many see the sick healed in their midst? How many demons are cast out? How many have raised the dead? How many have seen signs and wonders? As those who preach Christ, we're to be people of integrity as well, living as examples to those who are weaker in the faith. Those who are strong in the faith, this is not of you. This is a portion that you've received from the Lord, so you can't be prideful about that, but be humble in it and share, literally share your faith with others. Meaning, when they say, you know, I just don't know if I have enough faith for that, tell them, I'm believing with you. Let's pray in agreement for that thing that it would come to pass. And as we encourage one another daily, the entire body is strengthened. The cults don't see the demonstration of God's power, and I'm going to tell you this, it's a fact. The cults don't see the demonstration of God's power because they don't believe in the same Jesus that we do. They don't believe in the Jesus of the Bible, the one who is Lord and God, Messiah, and Lord of all. And as long as they believe that Jesus is either created, he's a created being, or one of many gods, they unknowingly choose to resist the Holy Spirit who desires to reveal the truth about Jesus' identity. If you're not expecting God to heal, save, and deliver in your midst, you're not expecting much. Because God is still doing it today. I've seen it with my very own eyes. I've seen it in other ministries as well. If you're not believing for those things, you're not believing for the fullness of what God can do among us. So don't limit yourself through unbelief. That's the only way we can limit God, is through unbelief. He can do anything. All things are possible with Jesus. All things are possible with God, but you can limit him by your unbelief. Just like those that Jesus went to in his own hometown, and he could only heal but a few. Why? Because they were full of unbelief. And don't label someone's encounter strange fire if you've never been set ablaze yourself. Hallelujah. If you've never been set ablaze yourself, I want to see you set ablaze tonight. And I'm going to pray for you that you get filled with the Holy Spirit, that those chains of unbelief and doubt break off of your mind and your heart. Because there are way too many, far too many people out there that have accepted cessationism. Your pastor has been preaching something that has developed a mindset where you don't believe for miracles. You don't believe. You literally, at this point, can't believe that God could heal your body, that he could heal you of something, that he could extend your life, that he could deliver you from the oppression and the depression that you're living in. But he can. Oh, yes, he can. Hallelujah. I feel that the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit moving even now, and I believe he's going to touch you this very night. So pray with me. Begin to believe. Begin to say, Alex, I believe that this is possible for me. Say, Jesus, I believe this is possible for me. I believe. I want to believe for greater things in my life. Jesus did these things. His apostles did these things. And nowhere in the Bible does it say that these things would pass away. So let me pray with you now. Oh, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, set these people ablaze for you, God. It's not strange fire. Oh, no. We are not charlatans who believe in the power of God. We have seen people who couldn't see, literally could not see out of one eye, have that eye restored. A creative miracle took place Hallelujah. In one of my prayer sessions, Lord God, but I'm not the only person who's seen this, but Lord, set those people ablaze. Set that person ablaze right now with your holy fire. Jesus, you're the baptizer. You baptize with the Spirit and with fire. So burn off every impurity. Break down every mindset right now in Jesus' name that has been built up against what you're trying to do. Give them the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Give them a brain transplant, a mind transplant with the mind of Christ in Jesus' name right now. And may your Spirit drive out any demonic spirit that is holding them back, that is resisting the power of God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And if that's you, just say, I accept the power of God. I believe the power of God. I believe the simple word of God that has been spoken through the scriptures, that is being spoken over my life right now. I declare and decree that you're going to walk in power. I declare and decree that you're going to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit as you place your faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior, as you believe that He is Lord, God, and Messiah.